Good morning. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. Well, today is Monday, March 19th, 2018. We are in the middle of Pledge Drive, 503-325-0010, to support the station that brings you the Ship Report, Coast Community Radio in Astoria, Oregon. Today we're going to talk about our ship schedule, which has, 15, about 22 vessels today. So we've been having big ship schedules lately, and that's a good thing. Sometimes the ships are waiting. They come into the anchorage and wait their turn to get up to a berth upriver. But we're just seeing a lot of vessels coming and going, which is usually a good sign for the global economy. As far as our marine weather forecast, on the Columbia River Bar this morning, we have combined seas 3 to 5 feet. Those seas will build to about 7 feet during those max ebb current times that I like to tell you about. The Columbia River Bar is such a dangerous place that it actually has its own marine weather forecast, which is usually talking about the sea state out there, how big the waves are going to be, where the wind is coming from, all those things that seasoned mariners, any mariner, needs to know when they go out on our waters here, which are very dynamic and very perilous, to be quite honest. So the Columbia River Bar is in general a place that people who are not experienced mariners should just flat out avoid it. But this forecast is for those people who are generally working out there for some reason, either professional fishermen or bar pilots or mariners of some kind. So we have that ebb happening around 6:45 this morning, and again around 7 p.m. tonight. So that means that the outgoing natural current of the river is going to be augmented by that current created by the falling ebbing tide, and the current can reach 7 knots in the river in certain places. That's a lot for a small vessel. So that's why it is part of the marine weather forecast. Overall in our marine weather, northeast winds around the region today at sea, 5 to 10 knots, gusting to 15. Wind waves from the northeast, 1 foot high at 4 seconds apart, and west swells, 4 feet at 12 seconds apart. And today we're going to be talking about cybercrime, cybersecurity attacks on ships, and why they are vulnerable also, in addition to other segments of our world. We hear about cyber attacks on your computer, on your smartphone, on Facebook. Well, ships are vulnerable as well because they're full of electronic gear. And some of that stuff is quite vulnerable to cyber attack. We'll talk about that in a minute. But first, let's take a look at our Columbia River ship schedule. We have 7 inbounders, 9 in the Astoria Anchorage, which includes 2 at Rice Island, which is sort of part of the Astoria area, but a little bit upriver from the big Astoria Anchorage here. Outbounders, we got 6 heading downriver and out to sea. Our first arrival is the Shail Al-Kul. She's arriving from China. She's going to anchor off Rainier. She'll pass Astoria maybe around 1:30 this morning, and that would put her in Rainier, maybe 4 a.m. She's probably anchored off Rainier, which is on the south side of the river at Longview. And she's ultimately going to pick up wheat upriver. The Belle Island is arriving from Russia, headed for Astoria's anchorage. She'll arrive there around 5 a.m. The Anzac Enterprise is arriving from Japan this morning. Past Astoria probably around 7:30. That would put her in Portland, at the port of Portland by about 1:30. She's coming in to pick up soda ash, and you can tell that by her name, Anzac, American Natural Soda Ash Corporation. That's an acronym. And so these are ships that are dedicated to soda ash as their cargo, and that is a kind of an interesting thing. Soda ash is a very heavily traded commodity in the world economy, so much so that the amount of soda ash moving around is kind of an economic indicator. It's used for automotive glass. It's used for lots of things. But so we sort of think that our raw materials of soda ash go overseas and come back to us in the form of cars on ships. The Falmouth Bay is next. Inbound, she's a bulk carrier arriving from Los Angeles. She'll be in Astoria's anchorage by about 10:30 this morning. The Ryujin is a car carrier arriving from Tacoma, headed for Portland with Hondas on board. She'll pass Astoria around 11:30 a.m., and you might see her by about 5:30 at the port of Portland. The Asian Glory is arriving from San Francisco. She has brand new Hyundais on board, and she will pass Astoria around 1:30. That would also put her at the port of Portland at a different berth than the Hondas at about 7:30. The Danusa is arriving from South Korea. She's headed for Astoria's anchorage. She will pass Astoria at about 3:30 p.m. and head up river. Oh, no, she's going to stay in the anchorage area, but she'll be picking up wheat eventually. She will go up river. And the Astoria anchorage, the Kunura, is leaving Rice Island, the Rice Island Anchorage, headed for Kalama at about 10 o'clock tonight. And she will be picking up corn, soy, or wheat at Kalama. The Mendocino is headed for Longview today at about 2:30 this morning. That would put her maybe by 6 a.m. at Longview picking up wheat. The Spring Progress is heading out of the Rice Island Anchorage at about 9 a.m. She's headed for Vancouver to pick up wheat. The New Able is headed for from the Astoria Anchorage to Portland to pick up potash. She'll be leaving around 11 o'clock tonight. And our other ships in the Astoria Anchorage are awaiting orders. The Panayota K, the Omicron Light, the Serba, the Easter N, and the FD Vittoria Raiola. And, okay, I'm going to stop now. I'll try and put the ship schedule up on the Ship Report website at shipreport.net after the show, although we are in pledge drive mode, so things are going to get a little crazy when food talk starts in about half an hour. But at any rate, today I want to talk to you. I've been listening to the news, of course, talking about, you know, hacking of this and cyber intrusion of that, and it's all pretty scary, you know. How to keep yourself safe. Well, the shipping industry is no different. This is an article that I found on the, that news site that I always like to go to, gcaptain.com. It's maritime news. It's really terrific. All about cybersecurity attacks on the shipping industry. And so what does that mean? Well, on ships these days, ships are much more reliant on electronic devices to operate than they ever have been in history. And over the 15 years that I've interviewed people on the Ship Report, I've heard captains talk about this evolution from using paper charts and bearing compasses and even sextants and things that are part of what we might consider old school navigation techniques, but they're very practical. They don't require electricity. It doesn't matter whether the ship's navigation systems are working. You can still get a bearing with a paper chart and a bearing compass and other things that you can use by hand to use the stars and the sun to try and even objects on land to determine your position. But nowadays, a lot of things use software. They use electronic monitoring devices that have screens where you can look and see an electronic representation of exactly where your ship is located. Those devices use GPS, which is satellites, references satellites that are circling the globe. And it's generally very reliable, but they can also be prone to cyber attack. This includes the software that runs engines, complex cargo management systems, which are handled by computer, automatic identification systems like AIS, which when you look at something like marinetraffic.com and you can see those little icons on the screen of where the ships are located, that's because of that AIS system that is transmitting information from ships to satellites. Electronic chart displays and information systems, they're called ECDIS, E-C-D-I-S. All these things are vulnerable to hacking, and that is jamming or disrupting these systems creates significant problems. For example, from this article that I found, in April of last year, South Korea said that around 280 vessels had to return to port after they experienced problems with their navigation systems and claimed North Korea was behind the disruptions. So what kinds of things happened? Some GPS receivers simply died. They wouldn't provide any information. Other GPS receivers lied. They gave false positions. This could cause a ship to run aground or hit something. Other things are jammers on ships that jam the signal, make it so the emergency systems, the clocks, and all those other systems that I mentioned before don't work anymore. So this can be a real problem when the weather is bad, when visibility is bad, when people are relying on electronic devices and not looking out the window. What are just a couple of things that were more common, say, 20 years ago, were using paper charts, as I said, using a handheld bearing compass, using a technique called dead reckoning, where you calculate the current, the drift, the wind. You do all these calculations, and you plot your course on a paper chart, and you keep verifying it as you go. You can use something like dead reckoning to get you through very bad visibility if you're good at navigation. Those skills seem to be disappearing as we rely more and more on electronic means on ships, and that is causing problems in this age of hacking. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.